Matthew chapter 14, we'll read verses 22 through 27 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 27. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 27. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Lord, there are churches all over this country and all over this world that wish they had a facility just like this one to even meet in. Your people have come today and they have filled this room and it would have filled our church buildings. And yet our hearts are hurting a little bit because hundreds have been left at home. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Lord, you have a purpose for everything. You have a purpose for this morning. Not anything in your will is an accident, nor is what happened here an accident. Please, Holy Spirit of God, do your work your way. Fill our preacher, please. Please use him in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. This morning we've read a passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter number 14. Let me remind you of what God told us in those few verses. Jesus had said to his disciples, I want you to get onto a ship. I want you to pass across the water, and I'll meet you on the other side. Jesus then went off into a mountain alone to pray. Suddenly, it became dark. Suddenly, a storm came upon that land. The Bible tells us that the wind came and was very, very heavy. It was contrary. In other passages of Scripture, the other Gospels, you find that it rained and it was stormy. Well, see, you have Jesus in one place and you have the disciples on a ship. And they're out in the midst of this body of water. And now it's raining and it's storming and they're just getting wet. The Bible says that they were scared during this episode. They had fear. I'm sure there was some panic involved. But then, the Bible says in verse number 25, it says, And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. See, the storm had come. There was water all around them. You understand, they were out on a big body of water, so there was not only water to the right of them, to the left of them, out in front of them and behind them, but it was coming from above them. They were surrounded by water. And they were scared. It was a storm and there was a lot of pressure there. And I'm sure somebody on the ship said, Now, what are we going to do? Look at this. Look, our boat is full of rainwater. What in the world? How are we going to solve this problem? I mean, there's just water everywhere. Well, guess what? Lo and behold, when there was water coming in the ship that was unexpected, somebody came walking on the water. You see, water doesn't get him down. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when the water seemed like it was going to be overwhelming, somebody looked on the horizon
And when they looked on the horizon, I'm sure they kind of shook themselves and said, well, I'm tired. I've been trying to bail water out of this ship all night long. They had squeegees and big brooms, and they had trash cans, and they had big plastic tubs. They even had a little kiddie swimming pool that they'd put down. They had plastic tarps everywhere. They were tired because they'd been bailing water all night long, and I'm sure somebody looked out on the horizon and shook themselves and said, no, I didn't see what I just thought I saw. No, surely not. I'm tired. I'm weary. It's been a couple hours since I've eaten. I'm wore out. Surely there's not somebody out there on the water coming along. Surely not. But then I think this may have been what they said.
Here comes Jesus. He's walking on the water. He's coming after me so I can make it today. Here comes Jesus. He's the master of the sea. He's coming after me so I can make it today. Here comes Jesus. He's walking on the water. He's coming after me so I can make it today. Here comes Jesus. He's the master of the sea. He's coming after me so I can make it today.
Let's sing it again, and I want you to help Brother Nash as we sing. Let me tell you something, folks. That old water out there ain't going to bother me. Amen. I looked on the horizon, Amen. And I said, I think I see somebody coming. I wonder who it is, Brother Nash. Tell us, who is it?
Here comes Jesus. He's walking on the water. He's coming after me so I can make it today. Here comes Jesus. He's the master of the sea. He's coming after me so I can make it today. Sing. Here comes Jesus. He's walking on the water. He's coming after me so I can make it today. Here comes Jesus. He's the master of the sea. He's coming after me so I can make it today.
You know, let me tell you what happened. The Bible says in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the water. I'm not exactly sure what the fourth watch of the night is. I'm sure I could have figured it out. I was too tired this morning to figure out what time the fourth watch of the night was. But I can tell you this, when the chips were down, Jesus showed up. When the chips were down, Jesus showed up. And then get this. The Bible says in verse number 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. I think somebody was thinking, we got water everywhere. What are we going to do? The ship might go under. And Jesus showed up walking on the water, and he said, be of good cheer. That means wipe the frown off your face, turn it upside down, and smile. Everything's all right in my Father's house. And then he said, it says, he spake unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. You know what he said? Don't worry, kids. Daddy's home. Everything's all right. You don't have to worry about a thing. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. We don't have anything to fear. We're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. Yesterday afternoon, a storm hit. Our men, our ladies, people everywhere across this property working. And the storm came in such a way, there's no way to predict it. There was no way to look out there and say, it's going to dump a bunch of water on us. I mean, it just suddenly came. It came upon us so fast. We had the roof tore off of our church. It was virtually impossible, humanly impossible, to do anything about it. Now, we were talking to the people that are helping to extract the water. Somewhere around 5,000 gallons of water, that's near 20 tons of water, had the privilege of seeing the inside of the Great Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. But I've got news for you. I looked on the horizon after seeing all that water, and I said, Do I see someone coming in the midst of the storm? Do I see someone that can surely not? Is that the one? And I glanced an extra time, and I said, here he comes. He's walking on the water. It's Jesus. He's coming to bail us out. Now, I wasn't for sure it was him, but I noticed the nail prints in his hands. I said, nobody's got any of those but Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, we can either see him right now or let the devil blind us. Our God's alive. Everything's good. Everything's well. What do you do when the storm hits? What happens when catastrophe hits? Let me help you today. Let me teach you something that all of us need at this very moment. Our church is a church family. We need this. But you need it. Because there are some of you, the storms of life have arisen. They've come to your family. They've come to your health. They've come to your mind. Let me tell you what you ought to do. Now, let me tell you, first of all, number one, storms will come. Storms will come. Every young person, you look up here at Brother Owens, every teenager, every child, you may not understand it right now, but everybody goes through storms in life. Everyone does. You young people, you say, right, well, Brother Owens, it's just everything's peachy in my life right now. Right. Mom and Dad, they go to work. Mom and Dad take care of the household. Your life is not complex. You have someone that teaches you and watches out for you and feeds you and clothes you. Well, let me tell you something, young people. Your day's coming. There's coming a day when the storms of life are going to come. Nobody gets out of it. Wherever you are today, if you're a brand new Christian and you're saying, Brother Owen, it's just fantastic in my Christian life. The Bible's fresh and new to you. The things of God, you're saying, wow, this is just fantastic. I must tell you, the storms come to new Christians. The storms come to the young and the old alike. Hey, young married couple, I mean, you're married right now. You're living on love and you're just oochie-coochie all the time. And you're still seeing stars. Well, bud, you'll see stars for a different reason one of these days. She's going to slap you right in the middle of the forehead with a frying pan. You're going to see her mama coming out of her yet. But listen, the storms are going to come. Listen, the tapes of our services go around the country. Hey, young church out there somewhere in America. And you say, Brother Owens, it's just fresh and fun and exciting. May I warn you right now, the storms are on the horizon. I don't know when they'll hit, but they will come. Everybody faces storms. Sometimes they're a surprise to us. Yesterday, the storm that came that flooded out the inside of our church building, it surprised us. We didn't see it coming. We were blindsided. And there's some of you, life was going just fine. You had no idea. You did not know that there was a storm just around the corner. And suddenly woke up one day and bang, the doctor, the report, it was negative. Suddenly, something happened. You couldn't see it coming. You had no idea there was a problem. Hey, other storms, they come to us. And we can see those dark clouds on the horizon. I don't know which is worse. I don't know if it's worse that we see the storm coming or it just comes upon us just all of a sudden. But let me tell all of you, we're all going to go through storms. There's no way out of it. We're all going to go through storms. Let me tell you number two, that the storms come on the just and on the unjust. Let me explain. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 45, it says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, you stop and get something today, folks. Storms come when you're right with God, and storms come when you're not right with God. Storms come to the good, and storms come to the not so good. Now, here's the wonderful thing, though. If you're saved today, when you're going through the storm, and there's far too much water coming into your life, if you're saved, you're going to look on the horizon, and there's going to be somebody coming along walking on the water for you. It's Jesus. If you're lost today, I feel sorry for you. We have the help of Jesus Christ as born-again Christians. He's our big brother. He's our heavenly Father. He's our protector. But if you're not born again today, I recommend that you get close to Him and that you get saved. But the storms come on the just. They come on the unjust. Hey, you're not wise, folks, in passing judgment on somebody that's going through a storm. You hear me say this all the time. There's somebody in our church, and maybe they're going through a tough time. Maybe they've had some financial reversals. Maybe they've gone through some struggles in their family, maybe with their health. I don't know where people get the idea that they're to stand in judgment on those people and say, well, you must have sinned. That's why that's happening to you. You're going through a storm. Well, you tell me something. Did Jesus ever have any storms? I found Him in more than one situation where He was in a storm. Does that mean that Jesus sinned? Does that mean that Jesus... Hey, you say, you're suffering, and because you're suffering, you're not right with God. You tell me who suffered more than any human being on the face of this earth. It was my Lord Jesus Christ. And if somebody's suffering, that does not mean they're not right with God. Away with this television religion that comes along and tries to make you think that if you're going through a tough time, it's because of your sin. Now, it may be. It may be your sin has brought a hardship upon you, but since I'm not God and you're not God, I guess you better leave that judgment to God, because He's the only one that knows the truth about that. Oh, what do you do when you're going through a storm? When the storm hits, look on the horizon. I'll promise you, there's somebody there for you. Here comes Jesus. He's walking on the very water that attempted to sink the ship of your life. Storms will come, and they're going to come on the just as well as the unjust. Hey, let me give you some good news, though. Point number three, God's in control. God's in control. God is not dead. God is alive. He is fine. He is well. Folks, I want to act like God about what we're facing here at our church. I think you ought to want to act like God about what you're facing in your life. God is not in heaven right now biting His fingernails. He's not going, how am I going to deal with this? He's not worried. He's not worried. The Bible talks about our having the peace of God. That's not man's peace. That is the peace of God. God is at peace. God's not frantic. God's not on any drug to calm Him down. Not one. God's okay. God's fine. God is in heaven right now. He's saying everything's going to be fine. God is in control. Do you know what I discovered? He made it rain yesterday. The Democratic Party didn't make it rain. The Republicans didn't make it rain. The United States government didn't have anything to do with it. God said, I think I'll make it rain. And there wasn't a thing that any human being could do about it. Now you listen to me. If a trial has come to your life, God evidently has allowed that trial. And God is in control. I just decided to trust Him. Man, that sounds like a Christian thing to do. Let's just trust God. Don't forget, He is God. I mean, He came walking on the water, and you know what He said? He said, be of good cheer. It's me. It's me. He said, I'm here. You say, who's here? It was Jesus. It was the great I Am. It was the creator of your body and the earth that you live on, the food that you borrow to eat to sustain the life that was a gift from Him. He's here. He's in your life. God is in control. And so I go into a storm, and I realize storms are going to come. I realize they come to the just as well as to the unjust. I must stop and realize that God is in control. And I've got some news. You need to be reminded of something. Number four, I stop and realize God's good. God's good. How often is God good? All the time. How often is God good? All the time. How often is God good? All the time. You guessed her, Chester. God's good all the time. You say, but Brother Owens, somebody I love, died. God is good all the time. Hey, you have a new baby. That's life. It does not matter if there's been death or life. God is good. It does not matter if it is health or sickness. God is good. It does not matter if it's sunshine or rain. God is good. Whether we're wet or dry, God is good. If you're having a good day or a bad day, does not change God, because God is good all the time. That is the makeup of God. It is the character of God. And what helps some of you to make it through the hardship that you're going through in your life is to stop and realize God is not on trial. I'm going to take Him off of trial. My God is a good God, and I know that He's not going to fail me. And so, know the storm will come, and know that it comes when we're just or unjust, when things are right or when things are wrong. But God is in control, and He's a good God. And then, number five, I always say this, thank God it could have been worse. Thank God it could have been worse. Do you know, you take for instance, our church could have burnt to the ground. I had a friend, his church burnt to the ground, the entire church. I don't think you could burn ours to the ground today. It's too wet. I'm not fearing that. Now, if it happens, so be it. But I'm just telling you, it could have been worse. It could have been worse. We could have been in there and the building could have collapsed on top of us and killed us. It could have been worse. I know of a church where there was a collapse and people injured, and I can't remember if anyone died from it, but I'm sure it's happened. Hey, I have a friend. His church was actually washed off of the foundation of the building because of a flood. It could have been worse. Hey, when things start going tough for me, when I start to see the storms of life and they hit us and they begin to fill the boat with rain and the winds blow hard, what do you do, Brother Owen? I stop and realize, thank God, it could be worse. Yours could have been worse. It could have been worse. Whatever you do, if you sit there today and you say, I don't see how it could have been worse, that's a dangerous thing to say, because God could enlighten you. He could show you how it could be worse. You listen to me. Thank God it could have been worse. Thank God that whatever God has chosen to come our way, we'll accept it and we'll go on. You say, how can you have that attitude? Because my God's a good God. My God is in control. And He said to me, there are going to be trials come. Sometimes when you're right with me, sometimes when you're not right with me. But the trials are going to come because nobody gets out of it. Then what? Then what do I do? Then I decide, if God's in control, maybe I better not lose control. Let me follow His example. When the storms come, God does not lose control. I would think then that I ought to be like God. You listen to me, if you're a born-again Christian, the day you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came into your body. And He is sealed there until the day of redemption. And that Holy Spirit will enable you to control yourself. Now, you have to have that spirit. It's maybe we'll call it Holy Spirit control, if you will. But you can do and you can face what you must face. Don't lose control. Be careful how you respond. I am so proud of the people on our property in the last 24 hours. The rain hit. Water just started gushing into our auditorium and throughout our office areas and all the Sunday school classes. You wouldn't believe the good attitudes. You know what everybody said? God's good. God knows what He's doing. We've not had anybody lose their temper. We've not had anybody tell anybody off. We've not had anybody do anything stupid. You know what? We had a bunch of mature Christian people that love God, that believe God, that said, you know something? I am not going to lose control of what God can do in my life. I'm going to let Him, I'm going to show others the God that controls me. Don't lose control. Don't, hey, when things are not going well, you be careful. You be careful. You be careful, because if things begin to get rough, you're apt to say something and hurt someone. You're apt to be unkind to someone. You're apt to go on the attack. Don't lose control during the storm. You listen to me. If there's ever a good time to keep control, it's during the storm. That's when everybody needs you to keep control. That's when everybody needs you to have a good level head. Hey, husband, when things start going tough at home, that's not the time for you to freak out, raise your voice, throw a fit, and threaten to leave. That's the worst time to do that. Hey, wife, when things are going tough at home, that's not the time to say, I'm going to my mother's. Hey, you listen to me. When things are not going well, it's not time for God's people to panic. It's not time for God's people to lose control. Don't be angry with one another. You know what you need to learn to do? You need to plan your attitude. Plan your attitude. Don't live your life off of your cuff. Plan your attitude. Listen, we got a mess to clean up. I've already planned my attitude. We're gonna enjoy it. We're gonna serve God. Hey, I don't want a bunch of people on that roof moaning and groaning and trying to throw each other off to their death. We're not gonna act that way. Hey, what is important about the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church is not the roof, it's not the chandeliers, it's not the pews, it is the people of God behaving themselves properly. Some people would say, boy, this will just ruin your church. I've got news for you. My church is in this building right now. It is the people of God. And hey, if this ruins a church, somebody's got their eyes on the wrong thing. That building, it's important to me. I want to fix it up. I like things done right. But what is more important to me is you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you. And if people say, let's go out there and look at the damage at Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, you can look at the building, but you can't see damage in the real church, because it's me and it's you. And get a smile on your face and say, I am not going to let this thing get me down. Stay in control. Stay in control. Listen, I learned this. Storms help us to appreciate fair weather. The storms of life will help us to appreciate the good weather. If we didn't have any storms, we couldn't. Is it hot in here? If we did not have storms, we would not appreciate the sunshine. Valleys help us to appreciate mountaintops. And may I remind you, for every one valley, there's two mountaintops. For every one valley, there's got to be two mountaintops. And I'm not really sure we're in a valley right now. But if we are, I'm going up, baby. I don't know about you. I'm getting ready to go up the other side. I'm telling you, a storm will help you to appreciate fair weather. Hot helps us to recognize cold. Sour helps us to recognize sweet. Up helps us to recognize down. And dry helps us to recognize wet. When you sit on your pew in a few weeks and that little darling's dry, you ought to sit up and say, whoa, that's nice. That's nice. Hey, next week when we get the air conditioning cranked, you whiny baby, why don't you say, thank God, crank her down. The storm helps us to appreciate the fair weather. The bitter helps us to see the sweet. War helps us to realize the blessing of peace. It'll help us to praise God for the sunshine. Every man working on the roof in the next 24 hours, when they see the blue sky, let me tell you what they're going to say. Look at that. Woo! Now, you might have had it all week, but did you recognize it? Hey, when it gets up to 100 degrees on Tuesday, I'll bet all the men say, come on, give me heat, give me heat, give me heat, give me heat. Listen, if it were not for the storms, we would not recognize the fair weather. You see, storms are going to come. When they come, they'll come to the just and to the unjust. Remember this, God is in control, and God is always good. And thank God, it could have been worse. And don't lose control now. When the pressure's on, that's when we need to behave ourselves. The storm will help you to appreciate the fair weather. Some of you that are going through some real tough times financially, let me tell you what will happen. When you rebuild, when you get some things straightened out, you are going to appreciate like never before the fact that your electric bill is paid. You're going to look at that thing, and instead of just taking it for granted, and that's the way we are, we take it for granted, we must lose it to appreciate it. Let's not let that be the case all the time, but for some of you, thank God you're going through a difficult time, because it's the only way you ever get your eyes back on the everyday blessings of God. Hey, when I go in the auditorium next, I'm going to thank God for my big cushiony chair, because this one's hard, and I don't have as much cushion as some of you guys. That's natural cushion. Hey, I'm going to appreciate the PA system. I mean, boy, I feel for our people that have participated in the special music and the choir numbers and the piano and the organist. It's been tough in here today. We have echoes and we can't hear, and that's difficult when you're singing to be able to hear yourself. Hey, when we get back over into the auditorium, I don't know about you, but I don't have any gripes. Amen. Hey, if it were not for the storm, I could not appreciate the good weather. Oh, let me tell you this. Here's one very, very important thing when you're in a storm. Don't cast blame. Don't cast blame. You know, God allows some things in our life to strengthen us. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. Oh, listen. So many times a family will begin to go through hardship. And the wife says, well, that's because of my stupid husband. He's a lunkhead. He's never done anything right. Right. He proposed to you. Oh, this tragedy, it's because of my wife. Oh, this tragedy, it's because of my husband. Oh, this tragedy is because of this person or that person. You listen to me. I happen to believe there's a God in heaven who allows things to come into our life. Let's not spend our time casting blame. Let's spend our time coming up with solutions and helping one another. Don't blame everybody else. Oh, and get this. Make sure when the storm comes that you look for the good. Look for the good. Who was it this morning? We were walking up the hallway, and what a good attitude. We were walking up the hallway, and one of our men, he glanced into the auditorium where the water was running out of the roof and coming down and splashing onto that blessed green carpeting. And he looked in there, and he looked outside, and he said, aren't the flowers full and green this morning? Isn't the grass just fantastic? Do you know, after a good cutting, the grass needs some watering. You know what I'd do if I were you? Don't look at the dumpster full of trash. Look at the flowers outside the building today. You know what I'd do if I were you? Instead of look at what went wrong, let's look at what went right. And there's some of you, you could straighten out your marriage. You could straighten out your family. If we just stop looking at everything that's wrong and start looking at what's right. Let's look at what's right. Let's look at what's going well. You say, well, you're an optimist. Hey, I'd rather be that than spend all my life in the mully grubs, down and out, and always bummed out. Out and depressed. I don't want to be like that. I'm telling you, if you can get excited on the worst day, you can get excited on all the other days. And I believe that there are flowers outside and the grass got some watering and a lot of good things have happened around here this week. I'm not going to let one thing slow me down. Oh, no. Oh, no. Look for the good. Thank God nobody was hurt. Thank God. Thank God. And listen, some of you, you say, Brother Owens, I'm struggling so because of the death of a loved one. And I understand that. And you have the right to grieve. But if you're looking, you say, what good can come when a loved one has passed away? Why don't you stop and thank God for the length of time you had them? To praise God for the length of time I had my mama, or my daddy, or my son, or my daughter. Thank God for when I did have them. You know, I was sitting in my office this morning. There are trash cans all over my office catching water. I looked for the only dry chair in the house. I went over and sat down. I looked up to the ceiling tile. Man, in my office, I got executive ceiling tile. I mean, executive neat stuff like you put in the White House. Or the outhouse. I'm not sure. I've never been to the White House. Oh, no, I have been, but not in the inside. But I looked in my office, and I looked up, and the first thing I did, Brother Barnes, let me tell you what I did. I counted the bad ceiling tile. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I counted the bad ceiling tile, and it occurred to me, if you're going to count the bad ones, count the good ones. There's 8 bad ceiling tile in my office, and there's 52 good ones, Brother Greenfield, and I'm going to keep my eyes on the good ones. And if I get over there later on and there's only 51 good ones, 9 out of 51, that ain't bad, I'm going to keep my chin up. And you say, well, what are you going to do? If they all fall, I'm going to look at the carpet and realize none of it fell. Oh, how we are. Oh, the way we think. Let's keep our chin up. Let's look for the good. You know what I love? I look for the good in all this. I see the unity of our church. I see the maturity of our people. I watch the deacons run to the aid of this church. And what you don't realize, they're sitting across this building, good men of our church, not just deacons, drenched in sweat right now. They're not properly dressed for church. Why? Because they're on top of that building, just taking water off of it as fast as they could, all because they were serving each other. Not a negative attitude. What? Not one negative thing said. Nobody casting blame. Everybody just pulling together and saying, evidently, God has allowed us to go through this. We will unify and we will go through it together. And if you're going to show up to work, if you got a bad attitude, stay home and share it with your wife. Maybe that's where you got it. But let me tell you something. If you're going to come help us, come help. But wipe the frown off your face. Get a smile on your face. And let's go through a tragedy God's way. Let's do it God's way. And so, you need to know, the trials will come. The storms will come. They come to people that are right with God or wrong with God. But God's in control. And God's good all the time. And it could have been worse. But let's not lose control of our Christian attitude. And then realize the storm helps us to appreciate the finer weather. We won't cast blame. We'll look for the good. And then you're going to have to learn to be flexible. Anytime you're in a storm, you have to learn to be flexible. Storms require flexibility. Storms require flexibility. You know, we've got to learn. Don't be brittle. Don't be hard-necked. Don't be so set in your ways that unless everything is going your way, you won't participate. If it's not going, if we don't do it your way, well, if they're going to listen to me, I'm just not going to help. If it's not going to go my way, hey, if you walked on the property today saying, well, I wouldn't have set that up like that, and I wouldn't have had this, and I wouldn't have canceled that, and I wouldn't have done that, well, why don't you go home and get your attitude right with God, come back and help with the right kind of attitude? Everybody here is going to have to be flexible. You say, well, Brother Owens, the restrooms over here in the gym, they're not as nice as the ones in the church. But let me tell you something. The ones over here are better than the ones that the Clampets had when they, the Beverly Hillbillies, before they moved to the big city. The tissue paper is more pleasant. You say, well, Brother Owens, be flexible. Be flexible. Absolutely be flexible. If we have to have church in this gymnasium tonight, which we probably will. Matter of fact, we will. If we had to move a nursery. We didn't want to move a nursery, but we had to move a nursery. Mrs. Russell's nursery had to be moved over here to the great school building. You know what I think of that? Thank God I had a building that was dry. Well, Brother Owen, these chairs, they're way too hard. I'm not coming back to church tonight. Then bring your pillow. Oh, Brother Owen, it's hot in here. We don't have any air conditioning. Then if you would like, put ice cubes in your socks. Be flexible. We're going to have to be flexible. Anytime the storms of life come, somebody has to be flexible. Hey, and listen, if the storm comes, and let's say a storm in your family is self-inflicted, some family member has misbehaved and has caused the storm, everybody else rally to the cause, become flexible, and just help to solve the problem. You know what you got to learn to do? Some of you need to learn to hang loose a little bit. You're just way too uptight. I mean, the slightest thing happens and you just... You tense up. Relax, baby. Hang loose. Loosen up a little bit, okay? You know, you gotta just loosen up. Relax. Some of you, even when you come into church, you sit there like this. Well, are you trying to force the insides of your brains to clog your ears so you don't hear? You think you've put enough cranial pressure in there, you won't hear what I'm saying? Loosen up. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. We live our life so rigidly that if anything comes along that's a little bit out of the ordinary, we panic. I can't go to church today. You've come to church even if something's not going well. Stay involved. Then be faithful to God. Don't be a fair-weather Christian. Did you know anybody can be faithful to God when everything's going their way? You get to find out what you really are when things are not going your way. You get to find out how good of a Christian you really are when things begin to fall apart around you. You get to find out if you really are committed to God when things are not going your way. So when things start going tough, what an opportunity. Listen, when we're in the air-conditioned building, when everything's going just right, when everything's hunky-dory, when everything's peachy keen, when everything, we just got all of our ducks in a row, who can't come to church then? Hey, that's easy to come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, when everything's going well. We'll really find out what some of you are made of if we have to come back when things are not exactly the way you want them. Be flexible. Be faithful to God in spite of the difficult times. Hey, and help some other people make it through. If somebody struggles a little bit, back them up. Help them out. Love them. Encourage them. Increase someone's spirit. Let the storm get you closer to God. There were some men on the roof yesterday that were really praying when the water started coming down. I'll guarantee you. Brother Cogley, you're closer to God today. Amen. Brother Cogley is helping to oversee this thing. And by the way, what a blessing that man is. What a good man. What a good man. Working all night long, sun up to sundown. That man right there has probably saved our church $40,000. Because the quotes that came for putting the new roof on a few years ago were outrageous. Brother Cogley, and just so y'all know, he came here and he said, I'll do my labor and I'll lead for free. He's not going to. We're going to take good care of him. But I'll tell you something. I believe the men that were up on the roof when the rain started coming, I'm going to guess some of them started praying. They started praying. And when we go through storms, it's apt to get us a little closer to God. You got to begin to trust God. Sometimes God may put you flat on your back because it's the only way that you have no choice but to trust Him. Hey, some of us need to wake up and let the storm bring you closer to Him, not drive you farther away. There's somebody in this building today, you're not born again. If you die today, you don't know for sure you go to heaven. And your life's falling apart. Life's a mess. You're bummed out with your life. Nothing's good. Why don't you do something? Why don't you let the storms of life bring you to Jesus Christ? You say, Brother Owens, if I come to Jesus Christ, will all the storms go away? No. And any preacher that preaches it is lying. You don't come to Christ and all your problems go away. You come to Christ, and then when the storm hits and the building is filling with water, the ship is filling with water, all of a sudden you'll look on the horizon, and this is what you'll hear said. Brother Nash, this is what will happen.
Yeah.
Here comes Jesus. He's walking on the water. He's coming after me so I can make it today. Here comes Jesus, he's the master of the sea. He's coming after me, so I can make it today.
Let's sing it again.
Here comes Jesus.
Let me remind you,
he's
when the tough times
the
come,
water,
if you're a born-again Christian, you don't have to go through it all by yourself. If I were not born again today, I don't want to get in on this thing of who's that on the horizon? I'm in a storm. My life's going under. Let me give you some good advice. If you're not saved, get born again. And then you'll look out there and say, I think I see someone I know who's not going to let me go under. Thank you, Brother Nyan Nash.
You don't have to go under. The storms of life don't have to overwhelm you and overtake you. Now, I've told you how to behave during the storm. But listen, you don't have to do it by yourself. You don't have to do it by yourself. There's somebody to help us through the storms of life. If you're not saved today, we invite you to the Savior. If you're already born again, maybe some of you need to look on the horizon. Say, now I'm going to behave myself. Here he comes. He expects you to do your part. And don't worry, he'll do his part. I showed you how to do your part today. He'll take care of his part just fine. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In a moment, I'll have the instrumentalists begin to play. When they come, we'll all stand. After we stand, we'll have a song of invitation sang by our choir. Now, you listen. If you're not saved, you ought to leave your seat. You ought to walk down this aisle. You walk up to here, and you say, I want to be born again. The men on our staff will be posted at the end of each aisle. If you're not born again, you leave your seat. Come down here, and you get saved, because you need somebody to help you through the storms of life. If you're a Christian today, and you're already born again, maybe you need to stop and realize there's somebody coming. He's on the horizon. He's not going to let you go under. Now, you do your part. He'll do his part. You need to realize, here comes Jesus. The very water that could get us down, I see that we've made it possible for Jesus to come walking on the water. And we ought to let him. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play at this time. Congregation, if you'll stand to your feet. Choir, if you'll sing a song of invitation.